Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 74, and this week's guest is Matt Lethbridge. Matt comes to talk to us about his journey from doing digital into large format, and that's how he got to Pinhole. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 74, and it's Holga week. Yay! I hope everybody's been out shooting their Holgas. And speaking of Holgas, we have Andrew WPC Bartram here with us, who hasn't been shooting with his Holga pinhole camera because he sent it away. Or you gave it away. Did you send it, or did you loan it, or did you let it go?
Well, no, I have two. I went about a year lusting after one, and then I picked one up, and then I picked another one up when they found the other load in a warehouse somewhere. Yeah, so I picked up two. So one of them, I did the whole shaving thing, you know.
Yeah.
And cut off that little ridge thing, and glued an adapter to it, like Alex Purcell told me to take a 52mm thread. Oh. Anyway, I've given that to Neil Piper, so he's now the proud owner of a modified Holga WPC, and I have a virgin, untouched, unsullied Holga WPC, which I haven't really played with yet. So I sent this thing to Neil, and next thing he says is, the cable release won't poke out far enough, you know, and it's not uncovering the shutter. Now that's a common problem, isn't it? Some of these shutter releases don't poke out as far as the others, and if you're not careful, the Holga shutter won't open all the way, and you end up seeing it in the image. So then I had to send him a cable release as well. So he's now got my camera, which I'm happy to give him. And I'd quite like my cable release back at some time, Neil, if you're listening. But I won't bust a gut over it. But he's out shooting with it, which is good. That's the main thing for Holga week. So I have a bit of a Holga story.
Okay.
And it's I was shooting with my favorite Holga, which is I got in 2012, I think, 11, 12. And it's different to my two others in that it's, when I press the button down and hear the shutter, it just seems more relaxed, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of a slack Holga.
Yeah.
And it produces great images, and I've got a filter ring on the front of it, and I love it. But I picked another one out, and that's not working quite so well. I'll come on to that in a minute. But I developed this roll of film from stuff I've shot this week, and I pull it out of the tank. And they're not square images. It's the most. But I thought, what the hell's going on here? They look like the 645. Looked like I had the 645 mask in, but I didn't. I had the 6x6 mask.
Yeah.
And I took the film out and I looked. I held the shutter open and I thought, well, there's nothing blocking it. It's really odd. Then I looked a bit closer, and I wrapped some insulation tape around the square. A mask, because I was getting some scratches on the film, mm-hmm. and I wrapped and this insulation tape had lifted up, and it was masking off the frame.
Oh man!
So I've got some great shots, but they're not square.
You live and you learn.
You do live and you learn, don't you? So be careful if you wrap insulation tape around things; it might come off. But the other thing is, Matt, hello. We haven't introduced you yet, but you're hovering around. Hi, Matt. Are you a Holga shooter?
I'm not, I'm afraid, no.
Oh, well.
It's all right.
At least people know you're there anyway. I'll ask Corey. Corey, have you converted a Holga to pinhole?
No.
Oh, for goodness sake. So I've got...
Why would I want to do that? I have so many pinhole cameras that...
Yeah, so I've got this 120N camera, and the shutter is just... bust, right? So it's not working at all, really. I'm sort of fiddling with it here now. So I'm going to take the lens off and make it into a pinhole. Now, I know lots of our listeners have done this. I think, looking at the back of it, I don't want to use violence on it, but it looks like there's a couple of screws on the back, and I'm thinking if I undo those probably the lens will fall off, but I don't really know. So I thought I'd ask you, but yes. You don't know, do you?
I haven't converted one into a pinhole camera, but I have taken one apart completely.
Oh, well, there you go. So those two little screws.
Put those two little screws off inside. The entire, you know, the base that the aperture selector on and the shutter selector on the bottom.
The whole thing drops off, does
that
it?
That whole thing comes off, yeah.
Oh, cool. Right. Well, that's it then. That's it. That's job done.
Yeah. So right. I figured you have more than just a few screws loose, though. Matt, have any screws loose, buddy?
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Plenty.
You're a happy bunny now, aren't you, Matt? Did I hear that you'd changed jobs or walked away from a job? And
yeah, very happy. 9 years in a very, very poor job. Decided I'd had enough and just walked away. Very fortunately, I've found another career starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
So tomorrow, first day at work, new boy again.
And is it a 9-to-5 job 5 days a week, or have you?
It is, yes. It's office based, so hopefully I'll have a little bit more time to get out with my pinhole cameras.
That's the main thing, isn't it? I think you need a work life balance. Listeners, you need a work life balance. You know, I won't bore you all with my story. I've talked about that enough. But you need.
Unless you're independently wealthy, then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, or you've got a rich wife.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, marry money.
Neither of those. So.
Yeah. Yep. So I'll tell you what else. Should I tell you what else I've been up to this week? Because did you miss me last week, by the way?
No.
That Mr. Holger, you see, was getting far too comfortable in my chair, and that's all I can say.
Let's introduce Matt first.
All right. Do you want to do that then?
Yeah. Go ahead. You do it.
Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Well, this week we're joined by a chap with letters after his name. Now, years ago, the Royal Photographic Society, when before digital, I thought, I'm going to join the Royal Photographic Society and put my work forward for licensorship and stuff. And then I never did. And then we see our guest today, Matt Lethbridge, LRPS, what is it? What does it stand for?
Licentiate of the Royal Photographic Society.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Fantastic stuff. Now, the Royal Photographic Society has got a long and learned history, and I guess, Matt, you can tell us a bit of your journey to LRPS in a bit, but why don't you go on and do the time and tested thing and just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background so folks can who are familiar with your work, perhaps from the Facebook group, can find out a bit more about you.
Well, I'm originally Salonian from the Isles of Scilly, and I've only been taking pictures, landscape.
Hang on a minute. Pictures. So, Corey, have you heard of the Isles of Scilly?
No, I have not.
Did you know we had something called the Scilly Isles?
No, I did not.
Well, they're called the Isle of Scilly, really.
Yeah, it's a small group of islands 28 miles off the end of Land's End in Cornwall, and that's where I'm originally from. But now live in the wonderful county of Yorkshire. Basically picked up a camera in 2007 for the first time and shot digitally. That's how I got my licentiate, was I applied for a distinction with the Royal Photographic Society for my landscape work digitally, but found over a period of, 4 or 5 years, I wasn't really getting a lot of satisfaction from it. Hence the move to, I thought, I'll try a bit of film photography.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I've ended up shooting now almost predominantly film, almost predominantly pinhole photography.
Did you not shoot film back in the day, Matt?
I had no interest in photography at all until I accidentally stumbled across Joe Cornish's book First Light in 2007. And I thought, wow. You know, these pictures are great. I can do that. I wish. And basically bought my first proper camera.
Wow.
And it went from there.
Were you inspired by Joe? Because Joe Cornish does a lot of beautiful colour work. At least I think he does, doesn't he? That was his colour landscape work.
Yes. The book First Light is all Velvia 50.
Yeah, that's right.
Sheet film. Mm. And I found that obviously quite inspiring, the beautiful locations. I didn't know these places actually existed in the UK at the time. I've always been a landscape lover. I've always enjoyed walking. But to see these pictures of so-called familiar places in such glorious light just really, really inspired me. And that's where the journey started.
Cool. And where did it, where, when, how did that lead on to pinhole photography, Matt?
Well, I went through the usual, what most people do when they take up landscape photography. You're into the gear, digital, building up, getting better gear, getting up at silly o'clock in the morning and going to wonderful locations, taking pictures. But it got to the point, I suppose, after 3 or 4 years, it just felt a little bit easy. I know that's quite an arrogant thing to say, but it...
No, it is.
You know, it just... It felt that it was easy. I like serendipity. I like the fact that once I decided to try film and put my first couple of rolls of film through a camera, I didn't actually know what I'd photographed, whether I'd got the picture. And it just really, really, the more I did it, the more it appealed. And of course, even if you're shooting a shot 5.4, with a field camera, you've got a rough idea. You can frame it, you can get your composition done, but you still don't know until that sheet film is developed what you've actually captured, whether your exposure is correct, etc. And I guess it progressed from there to why not make it a little bit more challenging, a little bit more interesting, and let's have a camera without a viewfinder. And shot my first couple of rolls of film through a little Zero Image 2000 I picked up, and I was just stunned with the results. I was just absolutely gobsmacked that a little wooden box could make such wonderful mm-hmm. pictures. And it I'm afraid, being a little bit of an addicted personality, it's kind of taken over.
Yeah, right. I think we all have that little bit of addictive personality, I think.
I think it's a male thing, quite frankly.
You think so?
Yeah,
but look.
Don't you think men tend to get sucked into hobbies more than women?
Last week, yeah. Carried around 25 cameras.
Yeah.
25 pinhole cameras ready to shoot.
Yeah. Oh God, okay.
What was your name? Who was that?
Sharon. Harris. Yeah. Come on, I wasn't even on the show, and I know who your guest was.
She carries around 25 or more cameras when she goes out to shoot,
I know, I heard that. I heard that. I thought, what? 25 cameras?
Yeah.
They're all homemade ones, aren't they? I think so, anyway. They
look homemade or store-bought, it doesn't matter if you're carrying 25. That's at the point of being obsessed, I'd say, don't you think so?
Well, absolutely. If you've got 25 one-shot cameras, I guess that's still a lot of frames, isn't it? It's a one-shot camera, because it's a bit of a pain in the backside. Film in the field. I know we have guests who do it.
Two rolls of film, that's about the same as shooting two rolls of film.
So that's okay. You know? So it's just as easy, isn't it, to take 25 one-shot cameras than two rolls of film. I can see the logic in that. Can you not?
Yeah, I can. But that's great that you... So you started off... Well, you started off with using the 120 or the zero, but then you just went right into using 4x5, right?
I had because I had the film holders, obviously. I had a freezer full of black and white sheet film. I just thought, well, there's a difference. People kept talking about, Facebook, etc., that you see the difference with the pinholes with the larger sheet film. And that kind of intrigued me because, obviously, it's got no lens, the same as the Zero Image.
Right.
So just a bigger sensor, if you like, in the sheet film. So I bought a wonderful little reality, so Sattel 5x4, and away we go.
Matt, if you're talking with earbuds and with a little inline mic, just try and hold your mic at a steady distance from your mouth. We keep losing you a little bit now and again.
Okay.
So you moved on to... Reality says, well, not moved on to, because you're still shooting with your zero. So you're 4.5, you're 5.4, you're shooting with the reality camera.
Yes, I am.
See how I did that there? That was for our UK
that's
listeners.
That's 4/5, actually, not 4/5 beside each other. It's 4/5.
Sheet film. Sheets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fantastic camera. But I'm still trying to teach myself to get closer because boy, oh boy.
I've got that camera too. And Yeah, that's a tough camera to shoot with, because to fall off one, it's, you really have to, you know, do a little bit extra exposure if you don't want to have the...
That's why I've been loving... I've become a bit obsessed in recent weeks of shooting with Mike Walker's Titan camera, because since he sent me the slightly longer cone, the 110...
Yeah.
That's challenging me to look slightly differently at images, you know, and it's making me not get quite so close. And I like the idea of being able to change
the cone,
change the cones, change the pinhole to film distance, you know, with just one camera.
I'm going to, in a couple of weekends, we're going to be going to a hot air balloon festival.
Oh yeah.
And on Sunday afternoon, all the hot air balloons take off at once. So I'm going to bring Mike's camera along and try it, because I don't know how close they'll let us get to the balloons. And if I use my reality 4x5, I think everything's just going to be little tiny balloons, you know?
Haven't you got a pinhole camera with a zoom lens on it?
I do. I'm bringing the Titan.
Well, that's where you need the 150 cone.
Yeah, probably, but I'm just going to make do with what I have. I'm sure you can get pretty close to them. I mean, I'm sure you can't stand right beside the baskets, but I'm sure you're...
Well, I'm not sure. There used to be a balloon festival at, I think it's down in Kent in the UK every year, at Leeds Castle. That's not Leeds in Yorkshire. That's Leeds in Kent.
That's
and they used to have a balloon festival every year. I haven't seen pictures of it for a while, actually, but folks used to seem to get pretty close to that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be holding the basket down, helping the guys hold the baskets down, but I think you're probably going to be relatively close, you know.
Will that be black and white? Because obviously that's a really colourful...
I don't shoot colour at all. I'm pretty much black and white.
No, I've never shot any colour sheet film.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, Matt, are they your two cameras that you're using predominantly? So the beautiful Zero and the beautiful Reality 4.5?
They are. They're probably the mainstays, but I've got a couple of homemade or home adapted, should we say, pinhole cameras that I'm toying with at the moment. I also have the Reality 6x12, which, you know, I'm taken out reasonably regular, but I'm struggling with that one a little bit on composition.
Is that the one? So on folks listening, you can go to Matt's website, which is No Lens Landscapes, or one word, nolenslandscapes.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
And there, Matt has very nicely put his work into little groups, which is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one there, if I look on the coast, I think. Yeah, so there's a picture of a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. With some nice leading lines, with a sort of, I don't know where that is. Maybe you can tell us, but that's lovely. Is that your six? Is that the 6x12?
A jetty.
Yes, it's not a jetty, is it? It's a pile of stones going off into the water.
In the water. That's Perch Rock Lighthouse at the Wirral, and that's obviously a stone breakwater, and that was with the Reality 6x12. Yes.
So you immediately get a different look, because there you can. You know, by using the top set of pinholes, you've shifted the horizon down a bit.
Does that camera have a rise and a fall pinhole? Mm. The 6x12?
It does. It's a curved film plane as well, which seems to really help with light fall off on the edges.
Oh yeah,
And obviously that was with the top pinhole, mm-hmm. Not the bottom pinhole, which of course gives you a more traditional, I suppose, almost rule of thirds horizon.
Yeah, the thing with that 6x12 is it doesn't actually have a centre pinhole, does it? So you either have to have more sky or more land.
You're either up or down.
Yeah, correct.
And it looks like there's a... I mean, here's how sharp James's cameras are. I mean, you can even see the cranes at the port over there. It looks like way off in the distance in a telephone pole or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's the cranes at the docks. And just at the end, you can just about capture the... breakwater curves around to the left, the little sort of pylon at the end of the breakwater as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a fantastic camera, I have to be honest.
It's a bit fiddly to load, but...
6x17 is fiddly too.
Yeah, you have that, don't you? Or did you have it?
I did have it. I don't have it anymore.
But we've had a few guests on recently who are using the Zero image, and I have that as well, and And I really like the way you get those almost crucifix compositions, you know, with the pinhole bang in the middle. And I know it breaks all those traditional composition rules.
Yeah, so, you know, but the clouds make up for it. It's so nice to look at the clouds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love pictures of people with them bang in the middle of the picture. I think it's great.
And this picture with the lighthouse is even different because with the clouds, you're capturing two different styles of clouds there. You have the wispy ones over onto the right where it looks like the front's coming in, and then you have the higher puffy ones. I call those the Simpsons clouds. Have you ever seen the beginning of the Simpsons?
The Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the Simpsons clouds.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't. There's some cloud buff will tell us what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ones on the right, it's probably a Nimbus and a Cirrus. Yeah. How about that?
The ones on the ones on the right are like the light speed clouds, and then the ones on the left are the Simpsons clouds. Good job, Matt.
Cumulus Nimbus. I think the ones on the left.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
That's what he said.
That's beautiful. There's a beautiful right. You've nailed the exposure clearly.
Yeah. Because, are you doing stand develop or do you do normal
developing? I use the massive DEV chart basically app on the phone, but I also use Pinhole Assist for my metering now. I was using an old Western light meter.
Right.
But I found that Pinhole Assist is just a fantastic little gadget. It just seems to work. It nails it almost every time.
Are you tending to, with a scene like that, the light probably is, I can't work out where the light is, probably off to one side or slightly behind you, I guess. Are you using that sort of spot facility on the Pinhole Assist, or do you just take an overall reading or point it slightly down like you would do to avoid the sky a bit? You know, can you recall how you perhaps used your Pinhole Assist app for that shot?
I tend to use the spot meter on it and average it. Just take a reading from the sky, a reading from the darkest part,
and bang in the middle.
Just break it,
and then just find the middle. And
yeah, pretty good.
I mean, there's such latitude on black and white negative film. It's, you know, the films are great nowadays. I don't know what it was like, obviously, three and a half years I've been shooting film, so what older films used to be like, I don't know.
Andrew, you've been around since the conception of film. What was it like shooting one of those old
films? Well, back in the day when I used to make my own film, it was pretty slow.
Yeah.
But no, I think emulsions like HP5, which are... I picked up on social media, someone was asking about a low-contrast film, and someone else said, well, all films can be low contrast if you curtail the development, which is true, of course. But some films deal better with a wide tonal range, and HP5 is one of those because it has it's the shape of the curve of the film, and it suits itself actually to wide tonal range, which is kind of counterintuitive, because when you've got that bright sunny weather and you've got a wide tonal range, you tend to go for a slower film. And a slower film, like FP4, has less of a latitude for... less of a tolerance for wide latitude. So it's kind of odd, really. You really need to be shooting HP5 where you want to control those wide tones from really dark to really light.
You've got to watch your light, too, and kind of pay attention to it, you know?
It's always good in photography to watch your light, Corey. That's a great bit of advice, mate.
I'm telling you, man.
Oh, you miss me, don't you? You miss me when I'm not here. You're going to be getting that Mr. Holger back.
He's coming.
What's your favourite film, then, to ask another cheesy question, Matt?
I must admit, I do like HP5.
There you go. Can't go wrong, can you?
I do use a lot of it. I mean, in 5.4, I tend to use either Delta 100, because I have a stock of it, or Filmapan 100. Yeah. The Filmapan is to try and extend the exposures, if you see what I mean, because the reciprocity on it's terrible.
So if you want a nice light speed clouds or milky sea, you'd use that because you're going to get those long exposures. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct. I tend to take both films loaded, different film holders, to give me that option.
Yeah. I pretty much have only been shooting. I've only been shooting one 4x5 film actually, so I don't just. I just bring that.
What have you been using?
That Ilford the Ortho.
Oh,
I forgot what it's called now. God.
Have you?
Yeah.
The Ortho Plus.
Yeah, the Ortho Plus. Yeah, that's about the only thing I've been shooting.
Yeah. I only had those few sheets that Kath Cartman sent, and it's getting quite hard to find. You know, I don't know if Ilford are still producing it or what, but when it does seem to be in stock over here, it's quite expensive. But are you able to get it regularly then, where you are, Corey?
I haven't ordered it in a while, but yeah, I mean, I can get it through B&H and the big suppliers. Mm. So,
do you know what you pay?
It wasn't much. $30.
Mm. Wow.
25 sheet boxes, I think, is what they come in. I can't remember.
Mm. Mind you, you have to over here, if you want to shoot Firmapan 100, you can get a box of 50 for under £40 if you look around.
Yeah.
So, and it's a great film. Some people say it's a bit on the contrasty side, but you know, if you develop it in Cafenol or Pyro or something, don't overcook it, then
it's fine.
It's fine, and it's really, really cheap. Yeah.
So, Matt, how long, when you, do you have anything that you particularly, I mean, obviously landscapes and things, you know, but how do you go about finding all these landscapes? Because you've got concrete bunker things in the water and countrysides. You're a far better photographer than Andrew.
That wouldn't be difficult.
I'm just picking.
No, it's whatever catches my fancy. If I decide to go out, generally my wife and I will go and visit somewhere. She'd never been to Perch Rock on the Wirral, which is Merseyside, and it's a case of we went there. I knew I had a specific idea of shooting the lighthouse at Perch Rock. But then it's just a case of meandering. The concrete is just more sea defences further down the coast.
Right.
We always holiday in Scotland. That's where a lot of the coastal images come from, because obviously we like the seaside. It's just shape and form, anything that actually catches my eye. That's why it's so varied. But I guess I'm a bit of a traditional landscape photographer in the fact that generally there's no people in the pictures, kind of thing.
Well, the only reason I was asking you that is because I see that you're not actively like having projects where you're like, okay, I'm going out this weekend, I got to shoot for this or this or this. I've been trying to do that a little bit, but it's kind of, I don't know if how it's been working for
Andrew. Well, he has in a way, because but it's probably by the fact that, like a lot of folks, you go out there and you shoot all sorts of things, and over time you find you've got different images you can group together. And Matt, you've done that, haven't you, with woodland, urban,
I just
coast,
meant like, you know, having like a dedicated photography project that you're working on. You're just going out and just enjoying your day and walking around, and whatever you see is, you know. I was just saying that I kind of tried to do that with a subject or a topic, and it ended up like killing me. I don't know if it's just because I felt like I had to go and try and work on that project, you know what I mean, instead of just
You can have the project bubbling away in the background. It doesn't have to be doesn't it? Sound like you did. You can have a project I've got several projects bubbling away in the background, but I still like to go out and shoot, you know, like Matt does, you know. Go on, Matt.
I think it's very time limited. I grab whatever time that I can. But it has to be fun. That's the whole idea of it. It has to be enjoyable. Yeah. That's basically how I get my buzz. That's what I do to relax, to unwind. I need to enjoy it. I think that if I actually started putting pressure on myself to have specific goals, that would take the shine off it a little bit. That would kind of make me back off.
I should have explained myself better, but that's kind of like what I was saying, you know, like once I've started putting pressure on myself, then I'm not enjoying it anymore. And I feel like I'm supposed to be doing it, you know, and going out and taking these pictures. And I mean, it's just kind of like, I enjoy it so much more. That's everything. I mean, pinhole and this show, and you know, that's, we're doing it for fun, you know.
We are.
Absolutely.
Talking about instantaneous photography, and Matt, I don't know, do you look at the work of our dear friend Alex Purcell? Alex was, so this is kind of jumping into a bit of the segment about the week in Facebook, but I was looking at his pictures. He has a great way, whether he's using his converted Zorky camera or he's using his Zero Image camera, he just has such a relaxed way of capturing pinhole images. And he got some of his kids playing chess. Did you see those pictures?
I did, yeah.
What a... He's using his pinhole camera like the rest of us would use iPhones, you know, to capture those moments. And I think that's just awesome, just to have a pinhole camera there and have the presence of mind to always be focused on capturing something. And he just does it so well.
That Alex Purcell, he's a photographer, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And did you see what he's making now? He's so the Sunny 16 podcast had Mr. Mega Pickles himself, Ethan Moses, on. And I think they had did they have Nick on as well? It was Nick, wasn't it? Nick Ryland.
Yeah, those two.
And I haven't listened to it yet, but I see they must have been talking about something called a day into night pinhole camera. Did you see that?
I saw the post where Ethan's making one, and Alex has
made one, so he's testing it out tonight as we record, and he basically, in a fit of enthusiasm, because he's a gas fitter engineer, you know, so his brain works in a certain way. So he went out and bought a couple of battery operated clocks from Poundland or somewhere, and they must have thought he was trying to make a bomb or something. I don't know, but he's made this pinhole camera with a rotating disc with a slot in it,
yeah,
and it's fixed to the mechanism of the clock.
Yeah.
So he can set it to tick round, and it gradually exposes. I think this is how it works. You'll have to come on and tell us. Gradually exposes the film or the paper, and he sets it 2 hours before sunset, and then it sort of records, does a day into night image. I can't begin to get my head around it. But if you look in the Facebook group, he shared some photographs just earlier today of this device. And I told him he was a clever sausage, and he said, don't talk too quickly because I haven't got any results yet. We'll see. But just to come up with such a nuts camera is, but that's that Ethan Moses. He's full of mad ideas, isn't he? You know,
well, he's been posting something on Instagram where he's making something like that. And it took him like 5 days to 3D print it. It's like his 3D printer ran for like a week or something.
Yeah, but Alex Purcell made one in about 10 minutes.
Out of foam core. Well, you know, Ethan and Graham and those guys, they'll see an idea and then bells go off in their head, and then they're like, oh, I can do this with it, you know? So then they always have to like reverse engineer it and make their own, you know, or whatever. That's how they work, you know, those guys.
Whatever floats your boat, and it makes it all very interesting. Yeah. Yep. Trees, Matt, woodland, yeah. Trees. So they're a great subject. A lot of people think, oh, not more pictures of trees, but pinhole trees scenes, woodland scenes, they take on an almost mythical sort of look, don't they? You know, you can capture the light streaming between the trunks like you've done and captured that wonderful solid light through the tree trunks. You know, you can, the one right at the bottom, which I particularly like, is some ferns and a bit of tree poking out at the bottom of the image, and then some coppiced tree trunks.
Yeah.
You see the one I'm looking at, Corey, under woodland.
Hang on.
It's the last image at the bottom, under woodland, bottom right.
My computer's telling me that this page isn't available. Have you paid your bill, Matt?
Yeah, he has. So this is like, this has just got the whole sense of being an ancient woodland. And, you know, you've got this lovely light tonality in the middle and the coppice tree trunks coming out the top and a bit of fern. And it's just a little bit of darkening around the edges and some off-center swirly stuff going on. And it looks... You know, if you wanted to make a magical woodland series, Matt, this is use images like this. It's fantastic.
Thank you very much. It's another one of those. It's where something catches your eye. I think it takes a little while to get your eye in, shooting pinhole, to know roughly what kind of effects that you'll get.
Yeah.
But it's just 10 yards off the path as you're walking through this little local woodland. Nobody's probably paid it any attention. People walk past it without seeing it. But it's there, it just catches your eye, it draws you in, and to me, it tells me everything I need to know about that woodland. You're quite correct. It's a coppiced woodland. It's been there an awful long time. A little bit forlorn, but that's the magic of it in my eyes. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that catches my attention, that says, you know, can I have a minute of your time, or 2 minutes, however long the exposure was, and put a little spotlight on that little bit
of
woodland.
Is that the very last image? Which one was it?
Yeah, the one with all the little spindly tree trunks coming out of the trunk.
Oh, I got you, right.
That's where, see, that speaks to me of man's impact on the land, because that's the way they would have harvested trees. They cut them back and allow trunks to grow up, and there would be people who would just harvest trees like that, or coppiced woodlands.
That's how they made fences.
Yeah. Are you printing at all, Matt? Because some of these would make beautiful prints if they aren't already prints.
I don't have the facilities to have a dark room. I don't have the room. But I'm very fortunate that Andrew Sanderson is not too far away, a couple of miles up the road.
Yeah.
And,
nice.
And Andrew has printed a couple for me. I've been privileged to be allowed to be in the dark room and, you know, join him while he's printing them. I'm watching his processes, and I have to say, the chap's a wizard. What he doesn't know about darkroom work is not worth knowing. And the quality of the prints produced, you can't get that any other way. You can't get that with an inkjet print. It's just, you know, his understanding of it as well, when he looks at the negative, to know instinctively how to work that negative to get the best print out of it. It's an absolute joy. It's a privilege to watch, to be fair.
Yeah. Hello?
Yep, I think we're all just thinking. We're all here still, mate, don't worry.
Yeah, there's Matt, okay.
Sorry.
I get nervous at long pauses.
You could fill it in with, like, bird tweeting noises or something. Andrew, I noticed, and I don't know if he's still doing it, a few weeks ago he was posting on Facebook that if someone wanted to, I think if a bargain price of 40 of your English pounds, he would take one of your negatives, make a print, and then give you detailed printing notes of what he did and his assessment of the negatives and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or you can just join him on one of his one-on-one workshops.
I like this picture that you have, Matt, of the, looks like the boat with the cooling towers, the nuclear towers. I don't know.
Set are we in now? Urban?
Yeah, I think so. I was actually looking at... Oh, this is actually on his Instagram page, but I'm sure it's...
Okay.
Yes, yeah. That was obviously not a pinhole photograph.
I still like it. It's...
I do believe that was either... I think that was taken with the 1936
It's cool.
Folding
camera.
It's
a great picture. And I actually like the... I like the tighter crop of it that you have just a few inches before that. It says high and dry, number 2, 1936, Zeiss Icon. 515 F2.
That's the one, yeah.
200. And the boat even has the bumpers hanging off the sides of it. Like it just got dropped there right out of the water, like somebody picked it up and just set it down, you know? It's cool.
You got some luck.
It's very fortunate.
Sorry, carry on, mate.
We were very fortunate to find that. It's just another one of those days out where you pack the cameras and go out for a little drive. And we just happened across this little boatyard. I can't actually remember where it is, to be fair.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
But this little boat, this little boatyard, right opposite the power station. And it just, why would you not photograph it?
That's great. It's a great picture.
What part of the world is that? Because I'm not on your Instagram page, but you mentioned power station, and I know most of them.
Oh, Radcliffe-on-Suir.
Ratcliffe. Near Nottingham. Yeah. Oh, that's they've got a wonderful set of cooling towers if you can get the right angle and get close enough. There's a little railway station you can park your car at nearby. And often when I'm driving up the M1, you can see these cooling towers. And depending on the time of the year and what the, you know, if the atmosphere is cold, you're getting all, you can see the water vapor in the sky. And yes, they can look really dramatic. Corey, if you Google Ratcliffe Power Station cooling towers, there'll be loads of images of it because it's pretty iconic. I see you've been down at the Transporter Bridge somewhere down Cardiff way as well.
What's the Transporter Bridge?
I've stood in that spot, but when I was there, it wasn't working properly. The Transporter Bridge, or it wasn't working at all. The Transporter Bridge, Corey, if you go to, it's in a couple of places, but in Matt's colour work, there's a couple of pictures of it there. There's one at the beginning and one towards the end where you can see, basically your car goes on a platform,
mm-hmm.
and the platform is pushed over the river, mm. or lifted over the river, and you can see the platform in the first picture moving away from the, that would have cars on it, you know, going over to the other side. And then if you look further down, there's a picture taken from near the base of one of the tower supporting towers, and you've got the cradle moving over.
Crazy. One car at a time.
No, I don't know how many it has. It has a few, not masses. Okay.
I think it takes half a dozen.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why not just make a bridge?
That was.
Oh, I think there are bridges as well.
That's the pinhole shot you have of that too.
Yeah.
The black and white one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a pinhole shot, I think, somewhere. A black and white shot as well, isn't there?
I was fortunate to have both cameras. I had the little zero image loaded with colour negative, and also had the Reality 4x5 loaded with black and white. So just try different angles and you know, try a bit of colour, try a bit of black and white. It's quite a unique structure, really, isn't it? I think there's one in Middlesbrough.
There is one in Middlesbrough. Yeah, I see it quite a bit as I drive past, but I've not been over to look at it.
I need to start doing more colour and carrying a camera with colour and one with black and white, I think.
Yeah, I had my Todd Schlemmer Terrapin camera. That tends to use colour film. That's my colour pinhole camera. That's my justification for having more than one camera.
Right. Anyway, nice.
So out of whereabouts in Scotland do you holiday each year, Matt?
Well, we always used to holiday up towards the west coast, mm-hmm. Where everybody normally goes because of the dramatic scenery.
Yeah.
But we've started up in Aberdeenshire this year, for the first year, for the quaint 17th century fishing villages, yeah. And that. So we've already rebooked the same place for next year. It was wonderful, marvellous little atmospheric place called Sandend,
mm-hmm.
Up on the north coast. Beautiful.
You get yourself a caravan.
There you go.
we're under discussion about a caravan or a boat.
There you go.
Didn't you get a keychain that says, if the caravan's rocking, don't be developing, don't be shooting?
It's the best thing, mate. I tell you, get yourself out around the countryside in a caravan or a motorhome.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful, my mate's got a wonderful book called Touring Scotland in a Motorhome. He's got a caravan, but he's got them. I don't think they do an issue. I don't think they do one called Touring Scotland in a Caravan. But yeah, the sense of freedom. But I think you need to be properly retired, really. That's the thing. So you've got bags of time on your hands.
Yeah.
So are they using a tow behind or like an actual one you can drive?
Well, when Matt's talking about the motorhome, that would be a sort of one of your RV-type vehicles, yeah, you know, gotcha. where you sit in the front and drive.
Mm-hmm.
Caravan is more like an Airstream, but not as silvery.
We had a Volkswagen Caddy for about 2 years, which I've used in the past when I was shooting digitally and started shooting film. That I used to just pop up for a long weekend and sleep in the back.
Yeah.
Not the most luxurious, but the freedom that it gave you for, you know, overnighting near locations, scout a composition, go to bed, wake up early, make the picture, hopefully. So that was good fun.
As long as you're dry and warm, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Shower before you leave so you can go a couple of days without showering.
I'm always too lazy to get up early, and I know that's when I should get up early.
Lazy, aren't you? You are a lazy man.
You're not. You're up at 5:30, aren't you, Mr. Cannon?
Yeah. Quarter after five.
I messaged Corey the other day, and he responded, and I thought, well, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. What's wrong with you?
I wake up every day at 5, quarter after five. It's my routine. I have a routine, Andrew.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, do you get out and do a lot of little overnight trips, Matt, or are you kind of just, you know?
Not so much now. Hopefully I'll have more time coming up now, with the start of the new job, etc. So, I'm rather hoping that we can do some, you know, little short trips just overnight and... priorities change, though.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how your photography changes, if it does, because, you know, for folks working and if they're under sort of mental stress or anxiety about work, often you don't feel like getting out and doing those things you enjoy because it you know, the work becomes all consuming, and you may well find that things are, you know, I don't know what your circumstance was, Matt, but you may well find that, you know, your approach to image making changes. Be interesting to see.
It would be quite interesting, actually. But I must admit, my desire to go out and take pictures, pinhole pictures, was probably increased by the fact that my job was poor and stressful.
Yeah, so that was your getaway.
It was. Now I'm a lot more relaxed, I think, already in the last 2 weeks. I've posted up a few more images that I've taken the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I tend to get out, but not get the camera out so much.
Right.
To actually not feel that I need to make pictures.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I totally, that's...
Sometimes the best pictures are the ones you're making in your mind, you know, and you'll probably find that you'll come back to it with a camera at some point.
I've gotten to the point where I don't even... I mean, I'll bring my cameras with me sometimes, but when I'm going to do things like when I go to my son's soccer games, you know, I leave it at home so I can, you know,
think of all the action shots you're missing, though.
I don't want to deal with it, you know. I want to go and I don't want him to look over there and see me looking through a camera the whole time, you know. I mean, I just kind of...
And I've spoken about this before, but, you know, I'm still working my way through developing loads of negatives, and I just don't want to be scanning loads of negatives. I want to be making prints, and Salt printing is just so last year. Did you know that salt printing is so 2019.
It's so over.
And yeah, so my latest drive is still lith printing is very much
still
on
there.
Vogue. Yeah, but for 2020, I'm keen to announce liquid emulsion as a thing. I've now bought some liquid emulsion and it's in the fridge. Some Rolly Black Magic. And watercolor paper coated with liquid emulsion, and specifically, I'm going to be using the X-ray film because you know, I think its quirkiness will add something to X-ray film. So this is the year, or maybe next year is the year for liquid emulsion, because salt printing is so like yesterday. You know, everyone's doing it.
Start coating things like coffee tables with the liquid emulsion.
No, I'm going to start with watercolor paper. Check out Graham Vasey's work if you don't know Graham Vasey. He's not a pinhole photographer, but he's been on the large format show with us, and he does a lot of most of his work is coated liquid emulsion, and he photographs just around his area. He lives near you, Matt. He's up in Bishop Auckland way. And he put some work in a local gallery, and he photographs just the local fells and hillsides, and he coats watercolor paper.
You should do a series, Andrew, or like a project of whenever you go somewhere caravanning, buy a souvenir and then put some liquid emulsion on it and then put a picture on it, you know, a poster or whatever, you know.
You know, that's actually a really good idea, isn't it? Because you're then combining existing things that you can buy in like in a souvenir shop with a bit of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of directions. Yeah. If you've got the time to fiddle with this stuff, you know.
You can put it on your chest and make pictures on your chest. You can
do See, I thought you were being really sensible and creative. Serious.
You can get like a coffee mug and put it on and a then coffee you have mug to, or something.
You have to let yourself down, don't you, all the time.
I was being serious about the
That's a really good idea.
The tourist vacation, you know, bric-a-brac or whatever you buy. You know?
Well, you know, Tina Rowe, doesn't she? She goes and we'll get Tina back on the show in due course. But she's coating her oyster shells and she coats those with liquid emulsion, so that's the same, you know, it's the same sort of thing. But I won't be doing oyster shells because Tina does that. Watercolor paper is fine. Cool.
Yeah. Well, you could do. Go ahead.
Did you want to hear about news from the Facebook week?
I guess. Go ahead.
News from the Facebook group. I've got 2 weeks to catch up on because I wasn't here last week.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mentioned Alex Purcell with his zero image and his HP5.
Alex, are we paying every time we say Alex's name, or is he getting like royalties from this or something? Or is he paid every time we say Alex?
No. Yeah, he sponsored this show. Is brought to you
by
sponsorship of Alex Purcell and Valiant Boilers. But Holger Week, there's lots of.
Yay!
I couldn't quite get my head around this because I saw a post from Mr. Holger himself saying there's still 2 more days left. Well, what kind of week is that? Does it finish on Tuesday or something? What's going on? Or did I just misread his post? Maybe it was 2 days old, his post. Maybe does Holger Week finish today or is it?
No, it doesn't finish till tomorrow, Monday.
Okay.
7 days.
All right. As opposed to Polaroid Week, which is just 5 days.
I don't know anything about Polaroids.
And so we've seen, who have I seen? I've seen Rennie Vonk, who has been posting some 3D Holger stuff. And yeah, he's been doing that. And there's been some others as well. I didn't make a note of who else, but there's a few of you posting Holger pinhole pickies. And I know Neil Piper's out there with his. Have you been shooting Holger this week?
Me?
Corey?
Of course.
Have you?
I've got shot one whole roll. And about halfway through another one, I've just kind of been carrying it around with me and just snip here and snap there, you know.
Got to get yourself a Holger, Matt, because if you like pinhole, you'll love Holgers.
I've seen quite a lot of Holger pictures that, you know, really take my fancy. But to be fair, I've got probably more than enough cameras.
No, you can never have too many. And they're not expensive, you know. You know, you can still pick them up.
I'm
beautiful.
I know, but my wife's tripping over cameras, so I've got to be a little bit.
Well, buy her a nice coloured one, you know, and then you could have his and her Hill Holgers, and you could if she doesn't already get your hobby, she will do.
Or she'll throw it at you.
Probably the latter. Yeah.
And they're so light, you know, you can carry them anywhere.
I did that once. I got in trouble. I ordered a Holger. I said, "I got it for you," and she, you know, looked at me.
No, you didn't.
You don't like the color, do you? I was like, it's black. Come on.
So the other work that's been catching my eye from the Facebook group has been our dear friend Michael Weitzman has been posting some print scans from a 5x7 pinhole, I think. Selenium, sepia toned prints. And there was one that caught my eye with a doorway and his hand on the door and then, you know, the corridor and stuff. That's look for Michael Weitzman's work this week. He's been producing some great stuff. And there's a couple with sort of his hands and he seems to be going down a sort of hand theme.
He does a lot of sepia tone stuff, doesn't he?
He does, and lith printing and stuff. Yeah. So it's, you know, I don't think he really does a sort of what we'd call a straight image. There's always something going on. Very creative.
It's always interesting.
And the other lady who I've been chatting with and trying to pin down a date for coming on the show, Corey, is Dorothy Kloss.
Mm.
And Dorothy does some lovely darkroom work. She's got a 4x5 enlarger. I think the images she's sharing are probably darkroom prints, but I'm not sure. But she does a lot of lovely landscape work. And we hope to be chatting with her at some point.
Yeah.
So big shout out to Michael and Dorothy.
Really. Good job.
Good job.
Good job. We are impressed. Well, Andrew is, because I haven't been on the Facebook page in a while.
You should do.
I know. I drop in from time to time. And
it's the place to be.
It's the place to be. It's far better than that Flickr place.
I can't access my Flickr. Something's happened.
Uh-oh.
And
Did you pay your bill?
Well, I have this work laptop. What I need to get my own laptop, because the company I still currently work for, although hopefully not for not much longer, just keeps putting more and more restrictions on the laptop. So it kicked me out of Flickr, and I tried to sign back in, and I've forgotten the password.
Mm.
And then it says, you need to use Google Chrome. I thought, well, I am using Google Chrome, and I went on. I said, request password, reset. And it says, you've got to download Google Chrome. I said, well, I have. And then it kept coming, you've got to get Chrome. I said, for goodness sake, it's driving me nuts. So at the moment, I'm locked out of my Flickr account. So
lame.
My latest my latest pinhole ghost picture isn't actually on Flickr. I managed to just post it straight to Instagram.
Is that the one with your feet and your legs pointing?
That's less of a ghost. So that's not really a ghosty image as such, but you could take the word ghosts and have lots of meaning, couldn't you? Like memories and attitudes and associations with places.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my lovely hairy legs. Did you like them, Gary?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
What else has been going on with the Facebook group? I'm not... Hey, if you have wonderful hairy legs, Andrew. What do you want to say? I have something I could say, but I really don't want to. It would be out.
It's a family show, mate. It's a family show. Yeah, well, yeah. It's just really, really active.
Good.
Dorothy is producing these lovely, lovely, gently produced images. There's one here. She's shooting with a zero image and pan F, which is a great combination. And she's shooting it at 32 ISO. And she's in Acadia National Park, Maine. Do you know where that is?
In Maine. I know where Maine is. I'm not familiar with Acadia National Park.
Tony Hertz is...
I'm assuming it's in the state of Maine.
Probably. Tony Hertz has made some upgrades to his circle format pinhole camera.
I like those pictures he's doing. Those things are really
cool.
And
He's got a little video with it as well. And I'm not a fan of circular images, quite frankly. The Impossible Project had some circular pictures, and they're a bit weird.
I think you just have to find the right subject for it, you know? I don't know.
Someone was using Pinhole Blender. Who was using Pinhole Blender camera? That was someone shared some pictures. Don't know. Can't remember. You have to just go back and look.
Okay. It's
zero image and F and pan F seemed to really
work.
Popular combination. John Ash posted on the 1st of October in Northumberland some pan F zero image pictures. So I'm a great advocate of pan F film.
Hmm. I like
lots of whole. The lensless people are getting their lensless zines. Julie Tassander got hers.
And I'm going to be sending an email out soon, trying to get everyone's addresses together so that I can send out the backers books.
Okay. So, there we go. Bob sent CYR. Don't have a name like that. I can't pronounce it. So on the 2nd of October, Bob posted, he says, working with my Pinhole Blender 120. So that's combining lots of different images. And the gentleman who's behind the Pinhole Blender company I've been speaking to.
Oh, cool.
And he wants to come and talk to us at some point.
Cool. Sounds awesome.
What's
a Pinhole Blender?
Yeah, don't ask me questions like that. It's what Bob was using. It looks like it's a bit like an anamorphic camera, but it's not really. I think it's got it blends different images from different pinholes around the circumference, onto the same sheet. So you end up with a, if you look up Bob's post for October the 2nd, he's got a nice color shot with some architecture. There's some, Tony Hertz says, blender beauty. So, yeah, pinhole blenders. We'll be digging more into that in due course.
Tony Hertz is down with the lingo. He's into
it. He is, yeah.
He's a hip
cat. If you're in Japan, David Felix has got an exhibition, a pinhole photography exhibition.
Nice.
In Nakaku, Yokohama. Oh,
that's Japan.
It is. It's fantastic. He said he'd love to meet some of you. Well, I'd love to go to Japan, but I won't be going just for that. Sorry.
I'd like to go to Japan too.
Yeah. Well, you can go and stay with, what's his face? Who lives by the foot of the mountain?
What's his
face? Yeah, you know, who came on the show.
I know his
makes
name.
The cameras.
I'm just waiting.
Yeah,
just no, waiting
you don't.
You
normally. Well, I've forgotten his name. Tell me who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Who am I talking about?
I'm not going to tell you. I can't remember either.
You know. He makes the camera. He's the woodworking man.
You hadn't asked me. I forgot.
The woodworking man.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, there we God. Go.
So, no, it's great. So, we love you guys chipping into the Facebook group. It's brilliant. And there's never any...
Dominic Silverthorne, that's his name.
Yeah. There's never any nastiness, you know, lots of new people coming in and asking questions. And people are very tolerant. And I keep looking at these Alex Purcell pictures. Alex Purcell, this show is brought to you by Alex Purcell and the Valiant Boiler Company.
Maybe I should get Alex Purcell to be my co-host.
Yeah, he'd be
Alex,
a good sponsor.
Alex, let me know if you're into it. We'll kick Andrew out of here. We'll get it. We'll get old Caravan Andrew out of here. Caravan Bartram.
if you haven't seen Alex's zero image HP5 pictures of his chess playing,
he's
really good. I can't get over those.
He does some great Olga pictures too. Have you ever seen that picture he shot when he was way out in the countryside somewhere, and there was a horse that was crossing the road, and he had his Holga right there with him, and it's just a great picture of a white horse somewhere out in Wales or somewhere. I can't remember where he was at, just crossing the road. But the horse is kind of like silhouetted, you know, so his hair is like flat.
Yeah, I remember seeing
it. It's a great picture. Good job.
I had a similar encounter with a hairy cow in Dartmoor.
I don't want to hear about that. Was that walking home from the pub?
No, the hairy cow was by the site with big horns, big pointy horns. Neil Piper would have been shitting himself if he'd have seen this particular cow with the big horns.
Screaming.
But do you know what I did? I got out of the car with my Holger, and I stared it straight between the eyes.
So look here, big hairy cow.
Yeah, I said, you're not going to come after me with those big horns. Just stay there really quickly, really quietly while I take this picture of you with my Holger. And the cow said, okay. And we just engaged eye contact. And there was no animosity. It was fine, you know.
That's good.
I really feel like I'm rambling. I've been away far too long.
That's all right. All right, well.
Do you go back to the Isles of Scilly, Matt?
I've been back a couple of times. Normally, sort of leave it sort of 5 or 6 years because most of my family now have either moved away or passed away. So, but yeah, we do occasionally go back. It's a beautiful.
Is it sort of Cornish coastal landscapey? Or is it sort of got a different vibe? Is it sort of Cornish speaking island, or you know?
Absolutely. It's as Cornish as you like.
Is it?
But of course, it's very, very low-lying islands.
Right.
You've got the island of Tresco, which has got world-famous tropical gardens on there, because it seems to have its own sort of ecosystem there, where it's a lot warmer.
Well, Cornwall's a bit like that anyway, isn't it? Really, it can be a bit on the warmer side.
Absolutely. I mean, it was 1976 when we moved up away to South Wales, and I'd never seen snow. Didn't know what snow was.
Yeah.
You know, it's just absolutely fantastic place.
What's the population? So it's more. It's a number of islands. Is it the Scilly Isles?
It is. I think there's over 100 really? Islands, but most of them are just sort of big lumps of rock. There's really five main islands that are inhabited.
Right.
St. Mary's, where I'm from, is the sort of the main island. And then you've got Tresco, Briar, and these other little islands kicking about around. But yeah, it's Harold Wilson retired.
Did he?
He did, yeah. When he'd retired from... finished being Prime Minister, basically. He retired to the Isles of Scilly, to St. Mary's, and kind of made it popular for retirees.
Isn't he the one who, when Mike Yarwood used to take the mickey or impersonate him, he goes, "He's a silly Billy." Is that him? Is that? And so, it's a bit ironic that he ended up going back to the Isles of Scilly, being a silly Billy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have no idea what we're on about, do you, Corey?
No.
He's a former Prime Minister, and there used to be this impersonator on the TV in the 70s and early 80s called Mike Yarwood. And he made a living really out of impersonating British Prime Ministers, including Harold Wilson.
Ah.
And when Margaret Thatcher came to power in 79, you never saw Mike Yarwood again because it was all about Thatcher.
Ah. Yeah. Sounds like a fun place.
Isles of Scilly,
yeah.
So you can get a boat out, presumably, can you, from somewhere in Cornwall, or do you? Is it?
You catch the Salonian, or the Salonian 3, as it is now,
right.
From Penzance. Nice. People like me that were born on the Isles of Scilly, generations of people born, we're called Salonians.
Are you?
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm Salonian by birth. Obviously British. My father would have got quite upset if I'd have said I was Cornish.
Yeah, I've never heard the term Salonian. So that's spelt what?
It's S-C-I-L-L-Y, silly. As in silly Salonian.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
Well, there we go. So we've our first guest we've ever had
our
from the
Isles
of Scilly.
Our first silly guest.
Our first silly Billy guest. Yeah, and I don't suppose we'll have another. You're probably the only pinhole. The only pinhole photographer in the village.
How silly spelled? How do you say it spelled?
S C.
S C I double L Y.
Gotcha. Cool.
See how much you learn. You don't need to have a passport, Curry. You just your geography can be expanded just by
listening to the Lodges podcast.
The wonderful guests we wonderful guests we have on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love meeting people.
No, you don't.
I do too.
You don't.
I do. Not crazy people who hide out in the fens.
You wait till I put my caravan on the Boeing 747 and fly over to America.
Come on, I have a humongous shower. You're welcome to stay. Stay as long as you want. I even have a hookup for you with a water hose. There you go.
Do we have any communication or coffee donations this week?
Nope. Not yet. Not this week.
If people want to make a coffee donation, how do they do that, Corey?
They can go to coffee.com.
That's KOFI.
Yeah. -KO-FI.com/thelensless podcast.
Yeah, you have to put it all in, don't you? You have to put the Lensless podcast in, otherwise
the lens
you can't find us. We make it hard for people.
Podcast. There you go. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, and so we'll get a cup of coffee for every time I've mentioned Alex Purcell this week, I expect. Alex Purcell.
What did they say?
Alex Purcell.
Every time he mentioned the Alex Purcell or coffee.
Alex Purcell.
An angel gets their wings, or a fairy gets their wings, or a pinhole camera gets a roll of film or something. I don't know.
Alex Purcell.
All right. Well, Matt, if you want to take a second and let our listeners know where they can check you out and find your photography and take a look at it and admire it, let them know real quick.
Yeah, well, basically, it's just the website. It's www.nolenslandscapes.co.uk, mm-hmm. All one word, No Lens Landscapes, just dedicated to my pinhole photography. That's where you'll find me. I am on Flickr as well, but Flickr doesn't seem to be particularly good nowadays. I tend to put the pictures up just so that I can direct people from Facebook over there because, as we know, Facebook kills your pictures. Much better quality on Flickr.
Yep.
I just seen an article as well. So there's a website, online magazine. I don't know if it's still going strong, called On Landscape. Is that still going? Yes.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's a subscriber. I've written a couple. So I've just stumbled upon it, but I've just because I typed your name in and you posted something in 2017.
I've done a few articles for them, but it was mainly digital photography. I've written a couple of articles, large format photography when I first started. Tim Parkin publishes and it. Fantastic magazine.
Tim and Charlotte,
mm-hmm. and wife. A fantastic magazine, or online subscription magazine for landscape photographers.
Nice.
Well, it's a new one on me. I think I must have stumbled across it before, but the latest issue. But it's just digital and film, is it, or whatever?
It's pretty much anything. I think Tim is a very, very technical, knowledgeable guy, and he did do a series of articles on pinhole, the theory of pinhole. Really? And different size pinholes and that kind of thing. Very, very technically minded. He's you know, really, really clever bloke, is Tim. And so it mainly encompasses a lot of articles by Joe Cornish, etc. Yeah. You know, writes the odd articles and that kind of thing. David Ward. But it does cover some film. You know, there are some film articles.
It looks really interesting. On Landscape. So that's onlandscape.co.uk. And there is a yearly subscription. Is it a monthly PDF thing?
It is, yes. I get a monthly heads up that it's coming out, but obviously I just go online. Yeah. If you're a subscriber, you can go online and you can just go back through every single.
Oh. Yeah, I imagine that's quite a resource. It's £59 for the year, or £68 for the year if you do 6 months or 76 quarters.
Well. I mean, they're well up over 130 plus, I suspect. Trying to look now. Wow. Issues. Mm. So.
Yeah, I think so. 191 is the latest issue.
But you can search back if you're a subscriber. You can search back and go through and find, you know, all of the articles by just about everybody.
Yeah, cool. I'm really enjoying Photo Classic International, the print magazine. At the moment, they're up to issue 3 now, and plus the first inaugural issue. What a beautiful printed magazine that is!
Nice.
I think you'll struggle to get that in America, I guess, Corey. I'm not sure, but
I don't know.
Photo Classic with a K was a German publication. Now they do an English version, and we've had some of our pinhole friends write articles in there. And different folks, you know.
Does it have pictures?
Yeah. So you'll be right up your street. Andrew Sanderson was certainly in the first one, I think.
Nice.
Andrew was in the first one.
That's cool.
Yeah, Photo Classic. There's been a few pinhole articles. And it's just that these things are just lovely to hold, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but the PDF type stuff like this on landscape has clearly got a lot going for it because you can just access all the past history and past articles, and you can see why. But you've just got to spend more time staring at the screen, haven't you? That's the only trouble.
All right. Well, if you want to talk to Andrew, you know where to find him at.
No one wants to talk to me.
Yeah, well, where can they find you at if they want to, I guess?
Anything with Warboys Snapper in the name would find me.
Yep. And anything with Pinhole Cannon in the name will find me.
we're back in, as the FPP would say, back in 2 weeks. Sounds like a bird.
Yeah, next weekend we're both going to be busy, so there'll be no show next week. But we'll be back after that.
We will.
Yep. All right. So, Matt, thanks for coming and giving us your Sunday afternoon and talking with us.
Yeah. It's been my pleasure.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Good to talk. Yep.
Thanks.
So, Andrew, you got anything else? I know you do, but...
Why do you say such things to me? You know, 80 minutes in. How long do you want to make the show, Corey?
just checking. Just want to make sure, you know. All right.
No, I've got to go and make lasagna now. So.
Lasagna?
Yeah, my wife will be home in an hour. She's messaged me. She messaged me while we were recording. Says, I'll be home in an hour.
I want lasagna.
Make sure that lasagna's ready. Otherwise, your life won't be worth living, she said.
You better get cracking, then.
Such an under-the-thumb husband I am.
Yep. Okay, well, everybody, hope everybody's shooting and having fun with their Holga week.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you, everybody, soon.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Housing base thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I one of the things I'd like to talk about is touch on some Holga stuff because a lot of people have been sharing images in the week, and also I was looking at one of my Holgas and trying to work out. Well, it's a story I'll share with the podcast once we get going because it's quite interesting and funny at the same time.
Yeah. So.
And I can't realise how stupid I've been. Well, I can really, but anyway.
Oh yes, I'll back you up on this one.